Thanks for listening to the Catalyst Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus, and we trust that this message will help you do just that. If God has been using our ministry in your life, would you consider partnering with us in a few ways? First, follow us on social media to stay up to date on all we have going on at Catalyst Woodland. Second, we have found that positive reviews on Google or Facebook go a long way in how their algorithms choose who to promote online. Would you take some time and leave us a review on those platforms? It's amazing how just a few minutes of time can translate to such a huge impact when people are looking for a church. Again, thanks for listening in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey everyone, Pastor Matt here. Before we get into our podcast this morning, I want to let you know of something that is coming up in the month of November. For the 30 days of November, we are launching an initiative that we are calling Just One. The goal is to help all of us develop rhythms of dependence on God that help propel us to the next 5 years. Because if you didn't know, our church is turning five on December 1st of this coming year. So we want to do everything we can to prepare ourselves to follow after what God has for us to reach even more people, to help even more people find and follow Jesus in the next 5 years. So here's what we're asking. It's very simple. Over the next 30 days, set your alarm at 1 o'clock and pray for 1 minute and ask God, God, what would you have me do? We have a few suggestions of a place to start. The first is one team, to join one of our service teams here on the weekend or throughout any ministry in our church for one team once a month, that you would be challenged to give 1%, either start at or increase by 1% in your generosity, because I would love if running a church and reaching people didn't take money, but the reality is that it does. And so to help even more people find and follow Jesus, that requires resources. To help us unleash even more compassion on our city, more gifts for foster children, more backpacks, more staff for our youth and for our kids to do even more in our city. And then the last is one invite. There are people all around the city who need to know the love of Jesus, and they could be just one invitation away from finding and following him. So we have all of this information and more at catalystwoodland.com/just one, and I'd love you to go there and check out what we're doing, and we're going to be emphasizing this over every weekend service throughout the month of November. So get involved, get engaged, and help us go into the next 5 years even better than we went into the first five. So it is my privilege to introduce you to our guest speaker today. His name is Pastor Tim Selleck of the Crossing Church in Costa Mesa. The unique thing about Tim is he is actually my personal pastoral coach and mentor. I believe that everyone should have a coach and a mentor to help you grow closer to Jesus and just get better. And he has been able to do that for me over the last year or so. And so it is a privilege to have him continue in our series, Dark Horses. So let's check in on Pastor Tim.
Well, good morning, Catalyst. Good to have you here today. I'm Tim Selleck. Let me spell my name for you, okay? It's C-E-L-E-K. Now, the reason I do that is, how many of you here, I know, like, golly, a pastor's praying for the 49ers, okay? I mean, I could see that a couple years ago. They sucked. Now they're okay. But anyway, I just had to say that for Matt's purposes. So, how many of you here like the 49ers? How many of you like the 49ers? Okay, a few of you. What you may not know, and you probably do if you really follow them a lot, there's a tight end that plays for them. He's on concussion protocol throughout this whole year, but there's a tight end that plays for them, played for them the last 2 years, caught a number of balls, been written up in some of the papers here locally, and that is a family member of mine. His dad and I, we palled around when we were growing up back in the state of Ohio. His name is Garrett Selleck, okay? Garrett Selleck plays tight end for the 49ers. Okay, so you may not remember Tim Selleck. Well, you'll remember Garrett, okay? But after today, I tell you, you're going to remember Tim as well. So I'm glad to be here with you. Now, I just got to say this right now, and I got to let you all know this here at 10:45. What you may not realize is this, okay? I get the opportunity to partner with a lot of different church launches and church plants all throughout the United States. And what is very clear here, and what you need to appreciate here in Woodland, is you are being led by an extraordinary leader in Matt. In fact, give it up for Matt right now. Everybody, just give it up for him. Give it up for him. I mean, I'm going to let you know this. Infrequently, it doesn't happen, or it happens where you see a person who launches a church, and yet they themselves are not intentionally and integrally involved with the community. You have, as leader of this church, somebody that first off loves his own family and loves them deeply. You have somebody that loves his staff wholeheartedly. You have a person who will go to bat and charge hell with squirt guns for the volunteer core of this church. But you also have somebody who loves the community of Woodland and loves his neighbors, loves his city. And my prayer for you is this. My prayer for you, if you are part of this greater area, and you undoubtedly are because you're here at Catalyst Woodland, my prayer for you as a church is that you would fall deeply in love with your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends and your family members who are near and around you. And in this next season, can I just give you a little insight? That whole idea of one at 1 o'clock, that's huge. And if you would start praying for that, I was with Matt yesterday, and a ding went off on his phone. And it wasn't the text ringing that was going on, so it kind of surprised me. And I just asked, what is that? And he told me, I'm praying for one at one. He's doing that. And that's exciting, because a lot of pastors get up here and ask other people to do what they themselves aren't doing. He's doing that. And I want to encourage you to do that. And then over this next season of time, between pretty much now, here we are at the beginning of November, we're coming up on it, and through the Christmas season, I want to just encourage you, every one of you, bring at least one person with you to church. You will be glad you did. They will be glad they came, and you'll never look at your church the same way again. The same way again. So I just want to give it up for you. I'm so proud of what Catalyst is doing. Come on, 500 people are a part of this church in 5 years. That doesn't happen, friends. That's an act of God, a people of God who are doing great things for God right here locally. So I want you one more time, give it up for yourselves. Everybody, just give it up for yourselves. And Catalyst is awesome. It's awesome. Now, would you join me in prayer, and then we're going to dive into the series, Dark Horses. God, just thank you so much. My prayer is that today, that what we would do is we would focus not on the person in front of us, the person behind us, the person to the right or to the left of us, but today we would think about, we would just think about us. We would think about our life and the way we live our life. And we would ask of you today that we would be willing to be changed as we leave this church auditorium. So God, my prayer would be that we would have a willingness inside of us to be different than we walked in when we leave. And I pray, God, that as a result of what you will teach us through your story and your word, we'll see it be so. And I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. What happens in our world? I mean, like our personal world, our work world, our family world, our friendship world, when someone that you know comes up to you and says, hey, have you heard the latest about? Or can you believe that so-and-so did? And then what comes out of their mouth, well, they know that some of what they're sharing is true, but they also know that most of it is not. And then how many times have you or I ever gone up to somebody and said, hey, have you heard about? And can you believe what they did? And then you share with a coworker or a family member or a neighbor or a friend. And you know some of what has come out of your mouth is true, but you also know that most of it is not. And I'm going to tell you right now, in that moment, what seems so innocent with that phrase, have you heard, can you believe? You knew in that moment. You knew when you were talking. You didn't see the whole thing. You knew in that moment when the words are coming out of your mouth. You didn't know the whole story. You knew in that moment as you were interfacing with that other individual, that group of people, you didn't have all the facts. But you spoke anyway. Why? Why do we do that as human beings? Because we know that there is power in a rumor or innuendo or gossip or slander. Because in a real world, in a real friendship, in a real workplace, in a real family, in a real church, in a real small group, rumors, innuendos, and you know this as well as I do, they can kill. They destroy reputations. They destroy friendships. They destroy businesses. And so what we're going to discuss in this next installment in the series, Dark Horses, we're going to discuss a very relevant topic, because what we're going to discuss is it's a part of your life, and unfortunately, at many times, it's a part of my life as well. And dare I say it, and I don't say this because I'm going with one particular political party or not, but the President of the United States of America, as well as other politicians, have made this a regular habit of their lives. So much so that nowadays, we think nothing about it. We just laugh it off. We shrug it off. We just ignore it. Well, that is until you're the recipient of it. In fact, can I just a show of hands? Just a show of hands. And if it's okay, you know, come on, you've had some coffee by now. So here at 10:45, you're alive and awake, and the wind has made you invigorated. So how many of you have ever been in your life, and maybe even this past couple of months of this year, how many of you have ever been the recipient of gossip, slander, rumor, or innuendo about you? Raise your hands. How many of you ever had that happen? Yeah, all of our hands are up, right? And it hurts. I mean, it really hurts. Okay, so let me just tell you, our dark horse today, the person we're going to talk about today, this was his specialty. This guy, I'm going to let you know this right now, the reason it's great for this series is most people, many of you who even go to church frequently, and by the way, if you're here and you're brand new and you're just checking out Catalyst Woodland here this weekend, it's this whole God, church, Jesus thing is sort of new to you. I just want to say to you, it's a privilege to have you with us this morning. It is an honor. It's an honor. And so what you may not realize is that a lot of the people who are around you that do go to church, they don't even know who this guy is. This guy isn't like some of the more well-known people, like that one guy named Jonah who got swallowed up by a big fish. Or the guy that you know, like they made many movies about years ago. His name's Moses. Or the guy that a lot of churches talk about that most people don't know about, the guy named Jesus. Well, this guy, you talk about a dark horse. I think the reason most churches don't talk about him is because his story is too convicting. I'm serious. His story is our story. It's how we traffic in our lives. And so this is convicting stuff. Now we're going to talk about a man, and I'm going to say his name right now and then spell it because I don't want you to forget it. His name is Doeg, D-O-E-G. In fact, on the count of three, I want you to say his name with me out loud because I don't want you to forget it. Doeg, one, two, three. Doeg. Doeg, okay? And Doeg dealt in something that we in our world, in our family systems, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, we traffic in this. He was a specialist at innuendo, rumor, slander, gossip. Doeg killed human beings with the sword of slander, and he had many casualties. But folks in Doeg's day weren't the last people killed by slander. rumor, innuendo. In our day, we like slander and rumor and innuendo. Let's face it. How many times in your life you might feel like a nobody? So what do? You prop yourself up by tearing somebody else down. When I'm feeling less than, to tell you the truth, I'm going to spread some smack about some other people. Because then it makes me feel better about me. Now, let me give you a definition. If you're taking notes, you might want to write some of this down. That's up to you. What is slander? Okay, well, slander is telling the truth. It's telling the truth, but not the whole truth, just about the person or the situation. It's telling the truth about someone or something, but not the entire truth. Slander number two, it's given the contents, but not the context of the situation or what the person is encountering. That's what it means to slander someone. It's literally when you slander someone, when you spread rumors or gossip or innuendo. And by the way, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are all these doegs out there. There are always people, many people. And by the way, we are these people. And I think the reason we don't know much about Doeg is because his story is too much like our lives. And it steps on our toes in such a profound way. So here's what I want you to do right now. And I want you, if you have a Bible, pull it out. If you're sort of new to this whole church, God, Jesus thing, and you don't have a Bible, but you have a phone, take your phone out. And on your phone right now, you can download an app. It's called YouVersion. That's the one I use. It's called YouVersion. The reason I like it is they don't send you stupid emails, okay, after you sign up for the application. So you can download YouVersion. And here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to turn or digitally get there. It's in the beginning part of the Bible to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. So just turn to 1 Samuel 21. And then what I want you to do, if it's paperback, stick your finger in there. If it's digital, just turn your screen off. Because here's what I want to do. Because I know many of you, you don't know the way that the Bible traffics. You don't have the story in your mind. This isn't fresh off some blog or some Facebook post, so it's not relevant to you. So let me paint the scene for you, okay? There's this king, his name, and by the way, a king in that day is like the president of the United States. So there's this king, his name is Saul, and he's the king of the nation of Israel. And we know Israel's in the news a lot. Now, I'm going to call him Psycho Saul, okay? Okay, because now just so you know, let me just tell you, for you who may not know, Saul was tall. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was the Shaquille O'Neal of Ecuador. I mean, of Israel. Why did I say Ecuador? I don't know. So he was. Now the difference between him and Shaquille O'Neal is he had hair. See, I'm Shaquille O'Neal and me are the same now. I'm at the point in my life where I can wipe my face, blow my nose, comb my hair all in one swoop. That's me, okay? Well, you know, in the Bible it tells us that Saul was very handsome and he had long flowing hair. But see, Saul also had a jealousy problem. A teenage kid named David, he killed this giant of a man. And by the way, his name was Goliath. Saul should have been the one fighting this giant, but he didn't. He sent a teenage Hebrew boy out there to fight this giant. Well, the teenager took the giant on, and he killed him. And when David, this teenage boy, returned to Jerusalem, all the people, they set out like a parade, a big parade, like what will happen when the 49ers win the Super Bowl this year, okay? They had a parade. And all the people all along the parade route were saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. Everywhere David went, they threw a parade in there. Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. And that began to reverberate in people's minds, particularly in the mind of Saul, who was being eaten up with envy toward David. And then the Bible says that envy took such a root in Saul's heart that he purposed evil to kill David. Now, I'm giving you the Wikipedia version of the story, okay? Basically, Saul tried to kill David, and yet David had done all this great stuff for the king. But Saul was eaten up with envy and jealousy. So hear what David does. David turns and runs. I mean, think about it. If you had the most powerful person in the world after you, would you run? He ran. So where did he run to? He ran to a city called Nob, N-O-B. Now, Nob is a unique town because you can actually see Nob from Jerusalem. And Nob was what was made it kind of unique. Nob was the place where all the pastors hung out. Or in that day, it was the priests. So all the religious elite people who were the uniformed core of that then, you know, following God group, they lived in Nob. And when he got to Nob, the head pastor guy, the high priest guy, his name was Ahimelech. Ahimelech. Now, don't let these names get you all confused, okay? Well, he came out to greet David. And David didn't want to get Ahimelech and the rest of the spiritual guys, you know, all involved in this craziness between him and the king. So David just said, hey, I'm here on secret business from the king, and I'm hungry. I have no food, and I don't have a rifle. So if you have some food and you have a weapon, I could sure use it. And Ahimelech was like, David, I mean, you're the man. We've heard about you on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And I mean, we've heard all about you killing the giant. And you've led all these military campaigns for the king. And so he just said, well, okay, here's some bread. And here's the only weapon we have at Nob. And he pulled out this honking sword because it was the sword of the giant. It was the sword that David actually used to cut the head off of the giant. And they gave it to David. So now David had a weapon, and David had some food, and then he left Nob. And he left because Psycho Saul was chasing him down. And as David left Nob, the Bible just tosses in this one little line. And I want you to see it. Now, so go back to 1 Samuel 21. Go back to 1 Samuel 21 in your digital device or on your paper Bible, and verse 7. And if you don't have that, look at the screen, okay? Verse 7, look what it says. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was, everybody say the name out loud. Everybody say it out loud. He was what? Doeg, okay? He was Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. Doeg. Who's Doeg? Well, he would be like the chief of staff. He's like, you know, if you know your United States government right now, he's the Mick Mulvaney to Donald Trump. This guy, he's one of the king's top employees. But David, as you read on, when he saw Doeg, he just had this sixth sense, this intuition that Doeg had it out for him. Because look what it says in 1 Samuel. Go ahead in your digital device or one chapter over in your paperback Bible. In 1 Samuel 22:22, look what it says. It says, David exclaimed, I knew it. I knew it. I felt it. When I saw Doeg the Edomite there that day, I knew he was sure to tell Saul. Let's just talk for a second, okay? Have you ever been around the office? Have you ever been at church or maybe at a small group? Or come on, let's even do this. Have you ever been in a family gathering? And when you arrive, you see a group of family members all kind of talking over in the corner. And as you start walking up, they get quieter. And you realize they're talking about you. Ever happened? In a work group, you come walking up to somebody's cubicle and they get silent and you kind of walk away thinking they're talking about me. Or some friends all talking, you come into the scene, they stop. And you get the feeling they're talking smack about you. See, David just knew it. He knew that Doeg was about to do something. His radar went off. He just kind of thought, this guy's going to screw me over. So here's the deal. Let me just say this. Whenever you have success in any area of life, whether it's academically or in the church world or it's in society as a whole, whether you're an entrepreneur, whatever you do, whenever you have any kind of success, what happens? There's always going to be those dough eggs out there to dog you. I guarantee you, and you may not even realize it, that after 5 years, Matt gets dough egged in this community by other people, other churches, because of God's favor upon this particular church. There's always going to be those people to slander you, gossip about you, spread rumors or innuendos about you, to give the truth, but not the whole truth, to give the contents, but not the context, okay? So, why don't we want anyone to succeed? Well, when we don't want people to succeed, what do? We put them down. We give the contents without the context, okay? And it's vicious, really. Slander, innuendo, rumor, it's vicious, okay? And I've been around the church for a while now. I started the church that I pastored until I handed it off last year. I started and was there for 30 years. I've been around a lot of people for a lot of years. And I've discovered, well, I got to say it this way. Have you ever been in one of those touristy towns, you know, like along a beach usually? And you go into those t-shirt shops, and they always have t-shirts and mugs. And they always have slogans that you couldn't really buy, because if you put them out in your house, people would, like, think weird about you. You know what I'm talking about? Those kinds of slogans? And there's that one that's always there that I wonder, does anybody buy it? And it's the shirt, and on the shirt, I can't even say the word out loud, but it just says, blank, happens. You know what I'm talking about? I think we should make up shirts that say, slander happens. Slander happens, and it does, and it happens often. What I'm talking about here today can destroy churches, it can destroy families, it can destroy friendships. What I'm talking about is real. What I'm talking about can tear you up. What I'm talking about right now is you just need to know this. We live in defamation nation with blogs and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We live in a nation now that loves to tear people apart. I mean, the top two cyber sins, what are they these days? Porn, we all know that. And then the second one is the whole slander situation, the rumor mill, all the blogs. I mean, we even have the person at the point of the highest position in our country, you just tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. And a lot of that stuff, whether it's him or any other party or any other politician, it's all about innuendo. It's all about gossiping. It's all about rumoring. Much of it is content without the context. Much of it is a little bit of truth, but not the whole truth. And I don't know about you, but I'll just tell you right now, I love negativity. I mean, I do. I love to hear some bad talk about you. And you love to hear some smack talk about me. Come on, don't be lying. You like it. It's known to be true. Why do I love it? Why do you love it? I'll tell you why. It's our sin nature, our depravity. We just love seeing people mess up. We love seeing people screw up. We love seeing people's lives being torn up. You don't believe me? There's an entire TV show all about it called TMZ. And we watch it. We love it. We look forward to it. All the tabloid stuff. Dirty launders, rumors, innuendos, and slander. So, okay, remember the scene? Doeg's hanging out at Nob, okay? He sees David. David sees him. He gets a sick feeling in the pit of his stomach that this is going to come back to haunt him. And Saul is in high-speed pursuit. Now, let's go back to the Bible real quick. First Samuel 22, and verse 12. Look at it. It says, so Saul said, listen now, Ahimelech. Now, stop. Who's Ahimelech? Ahimelech's the head guy of the town of Nob. Saul's now coming through because he got word. We'll see that in a second. And he meets up with the head guy, Ahimelech. He says, and he says, listen now, Ahimelech. Yes, my lord, the head guy answered the king. And so the king, Saul, said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he's rebelled against me and lies in wait for me, and as he does today? So, like, you got to be thinking, he's got to be thinking, he's going, what? Where did you hear such a thing? And then look what he keeps going on. Ahimelech answered the king, because he's like, he's dumbfounded. Like, what's going on here? Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard? I mean, he's the captain of the secret service. I mean, highly respected in your household. Was that the the day. Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. I mean, David's always coming through Nob. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair. But look what the king said. You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family. In other words, the king's going, what's the deal with David? David's getting food from you. David's getting a weapon from you. Are you partnering with David to take me out? Which, by the way, is totally bogus. I mean, he's the freaking king. He's got the Navy SEALs at his disposal. And he's talking to the head spiritual guy who's a man of integrity, and he's dissing them. And Ahimelech's saying, what? David told me he was here in Nob on business of yours. And what's so interesting to me here is Saul's willing to listen to the slanderous smack talk of Doeg instead of the honest truth of these men who are living good lives. Now, why do I know this? Well, look at the next part. 1 Samuel 22:17. Look at it. 1 Samuel 22:17. Then the king ordered the guards. The king ordered the guards at his side, turn and kill the priests of the Lord. Because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me. But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. So you got to get the scene here. Okay, so he's got his secret service around him. He's got the best rangers right around him. The Navy SEALs are right around him. And he looks at him and says, kill him. They're conspiring to take me out. And they're like going, this king has lost his freaking mind. So when Saul says, kill him, not one of the military personnel move. He says, take him out, ice him. And they're all thinking to themselves, why? I'll tell you why. Why? Look at the next part. I'm going to just show you this. Back up a little bit. How did all this start? Where did all this come from? Look at 1 Samuel 22:9-10. But Doeg the Edomite, who was, now remember, this all took place before the words of Saul, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech. At Nob, Ahimelech acquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him some provisions and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Again, the contents without the context. Doeg knew the real deal. He knew the truth, but he left out certain parts of the truth. He put his sinister, slanderous, smack talk spin on it. And because this is just, by the way, this is my conjecture. I don't know. This is not in the Bible story. But I kind of think that those guys who were Saul's, you know, protectors, I think they had heard Doeg talk around the water cooler. I think those guys had probably read some of Doeg's Facebook posts. I think they probably saw some of his Twitter feed. And so they said, what he's talking isn't usually all that real. What this guy's saying is the truth, so they didn't kill him. But look what happens next. This is what's sad. In verses 18 and 19 of 1 Samuel 22, look at it. Doeg the Edomite turned, because he's there that day, and he struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put the sword of Nob, the town of the priests, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. He wiped out the whole town, one guy. Can I give you some principles right now about slander? Let me give you these. You can write these down. Number one, the first principle is this about slander. Just know this. I can slander you and you can slander me. I can slander you and you can slander me as a result of my silence. Okay, I'm going to say something right now and I want you to really clue in. If I'm at a party, I'm at a social gathering, I'm at a family affair, I'm with a bunch of friends out at it could be anywhere, a bar, you name it. And somebody says something about you to me, and I know that's not true, or it's not the whole truth, and I stay silent, I too am a slanderer. I'm a gossiper. I'm an innuendo provider. Because you slander by silence. Number two, principle number two. I can slander you and you can slander me as a result of my defiance. And this is usually how it works in our life. What basically happens is you and I just shake our puny fists in God's face and we say, you know what, God? I'm going to slander, talk some smack. I'm gonna spread a little juicy morsels of gossip, some innuendo about this person because I don't like him. I don't like my neighbor, so I'm going to talk smack to my other neighbor, about that neighbor. I don't like this friend as much as I like that friend, so I'm just going to tell a little story. I don't like my coworker as much as this other coworker, and so I'm going to talk about them behind their back. And there's just something so evil about it. You know it's wrong, but you say, God, I'm going to do it anyway. And then when you do it, you think, whoa, I got him. Whoa, I got her. We like it, don't we? Come on now, smile with me. You've been there. And you say, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you say. And then number three, the third principle of slander is this. I can slander you and you can slander me as a result of my reliance on the wrong things, the half-truths that are out there. We rely on faulty information like Saul did. We listen to the Doegs and not to the priests, okay? We listen to the haters and not the truth tellers. I'm telling you something right now. Just listen to me. Listen to me. Look right into my eyes. God hates slander, rumor, innuendo, and gossiping. He hates it in my life, and he hates it in your life. See, here's the bottom line. If you don't take a note the whole day, if you don't take a snapshot of the screen and keep it for later, get this. Number one, just get this, okay? The bottom line is this. Slander kills. Slander kills. And some of us here, I got to tell you right now, you're like, you know what, Tim? I've over these last few months, I've been on the receiving end at my workplace, in my family system, in a friendship circle of slander. I've been slandered, and it hurts. And you know what? In the 30-year history of the church that I planted and saw grow, I'm telling you right now, not a month went by. Over 30-year history, where somebody didn't talk smack, rumor, innuendo about my leadership. So I understand what it's like to be on the receiving end. And I know some of you may say, well, hey, it doesn't hurt me. Doesn't affect me. Who are you trying to kid? I'll tell you something. As somebody that's now 60 years of age, it hurts. And so some of you are on the receiving end, but the other truth is some of you are on the receiving end of you're not just on the receiving end, you're on the giving end of it today. You've been talking some smack about somebody in your family. Maybe you've been talking some trash about your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, or your mom and dad. I mean, this is pervasive, friends. Because if I can put them down, then I feel better about me. So this message is for those of you who've been slandered and gossiped and rumored about, and it's for those of you who are doing it as well, okay? In fact, let me just say this right now, okay? We may not kill people physically, but we kill them emotionally, psychologically. We live in a nation of defamation. We kill people all day long. In fact, take your pincher fingers right now. Everybody take your pincher fingers. Come on, everybody do this. Come on. I want to see everybody doing this. Everybody doing this right here. Okay, do this. Now, I want you to grab a hold. I want everybody to grab a hold of that 4-ounce piece of mucous membrane right in your mouth. It's your tongue. You can hold on to it. Get it in your hands, okay? The tongue is powerful. You can speak life or death, praise or destruction, and that's how powerful it is, okay? You know how I know this? Okay, let me tell you how this whole message came about. I never really heard about Doeg. I read 1 Samuel 22 and 21, but then all of a sudden one day I'm reading the Psalms, Psalm 52. Look what Psalm 52 says. It's a psalm that David wrote all about this one experience. Look at it on the screen there. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down for later. You could look. It says in Psalm 52, it says, this is the preface. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, David has gone to see Ahimelech. And then the psalm actually starts, why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? He's talking about Doeg, David is. Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction. Everybody take your pinch of fingers. Come on. I want you to get this. I don't want you to forget this. Your tongue. A tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. This right here in our mouth is a sort of slander. And some of us are slander's helpers. And some of us are just pure slanders. In fact, let me just tell you, and then I'll end this out. So I have a friend, really good friend. He was on staff with me for many years at the Crossing Church. And we would have staff meetings of our lead team at my house. And one day after he left, I noticed that there were all these little wadded up gum wrappers right under the couch where he sat. And he always sat there. I could never figure out why they showed up. Well, one day when we came for a meeting, I noticed him. He would take a piece of gum, and he would take the gum, put it in his mouth. Then he'd tightly wad up. He discreetly dropped the little thing on the ground, and with his heel, he would shove it underneath. And he would always do that throughout the meeting time with three or four pieces of gum. So after one meeting, when I finally realized that was him, I asked, as everybody's leaving, I said, hey, I'm not going to say his name right here. I said, hey, could you stay for just a second? And then I walked him back into by that couch. And I said, I think these are yours. You need to clean them up. And let's not do this anymore. And let me tell you something. We continued to have leadership meetings at my house. It never happened again. We need to call this out. Because this is like a sharp razor. And when you see it cutting other people because you felt the cut yourself, say, we don't need to talk about this because talking about this is not right. And by the way, church people are really good at slander. You know what it's called? Prayer requests. Now, I know some of you are going to be really upset with me and just saying that. Because what do? We say, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. And then somebody will say right back to that, well, why don't you tell me more? You don't need to know the more because it's content without the context. It's a little bit of the truth, but not the whole truth. Just go and pray. Most people spend all their time talking about the person and never praying for the person. So let me give you a little way to put an end to all this all at one time. You ready? I'm going to give you a way so that all of us from here on out, before you ever utter a word, so today over lunch on this Sunday, tomorrow in your places of employment, Monday through Friday, in your family, husband to wife, wife to husband, to kids, to parents, with anybody you come in contact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think before you speak. And before one word even comes out of your mouth, you have to ask yourself these five questions. Write them down. Don't forget them. Because the rest of this week, you need to apply this. You ready? Here we go. T, is what I'm about to say thoughtful? Is what I'm about to say thoughtful? H, is what I'm about to say helpful? You can think it through really well, but it may not be helpful to the person you're saying it to. You know what I'm saying? Okay, T, is it thoughtful? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspirational? You can think it through and it's helpful, but you're not saying it in a way that motivates, in a positive way. And then N, is it necessary? You may think about it. It could be helpful. It could be inspirational. But does it really need to be said after all? And then K, is it kind? Is what I'm about to say kind? Now, let me just say this right now. Right now, before you say another word the rest of this day, ask yourself, in what I'm about to say, thoughtful, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind? And some of you are going, if I have to ask that question before I say one word, I'll never say anything. That's the point. Most of what we speak is outside the realm of God's best for me and for you and for those we communicate with. So I want to ask you to remember three things from today. Number one, I don't want you to forget the name Doeg. Doeg. Number two, I don't want you to forget this. Slander kills. Rumor, innuendo, gossip.
It maims, maybe not physically, but emotionally and psychologically. And then number three, don't forget this. Before a word ever comes out of your mouth, out in the lobby, in the car drive on the way home, all week long, think before you speak. If you do, just think what would happen at this church. Just think what would happen. If you all lived this, if I lived this, our lives would be so radically noticed, you'd have to lock the doors of Catalyst. There'd be so many people trying to get in here. Because you would be living in a way that most people don't. And that's what I want for this church. That's what I want for you, because that's what I want for me. Let's pray before we sing. God, just thank you so much for this day. And even though I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or raise a hand, God, what I would ask is that each of us who are occupying a seat right now, we would not think about the person in front of us, the person behind us, the person to the right or to the left of us. We would just think about ourselves. We would just think about little old me. And God, what is it that needs to change about me? And how I talk about my spouse, and how I talk about my kids, how I talk about my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, my coworker, my boss, my employees, my neighbors, my friends. The list goes on and on. It's endless. But God, my prayer would be that we would change how we speak. Because in just this one area, if we could change how we speak, it would change not just us, not just a marriage, not just a family system, friendship circles. It would change neighborhoods and schools and entire cities. If we could just understand this very concept. So thank you for the dark horse that is Doeg. Somebody we probably didn't know about before, but somebody who we could greatly learn from right here, right now. May we be open to change. That was my prayer at the beginning. May we be open to change. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.